Well, good evening, everybody. It's the Laker Hockey Show live from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten. And Damon Witten's a popular guy these days. His team is hot right now. They've won six straight games that count. Seven if you count the under-18s, which I do because they're a very good hockey team. And I thought that was a great win against them. And they went out and beat St. Cloud State a week after the Lakers beat them 7-3. So they've proven they're a good team, and I think that's a very worthy win for Lake Superior. But what a job since last we talked, Damon, and we've been off for 3 weeks now with this show. You have won the GLI, which was a tremendous effort, I thought, beating Michigan Tech 6-3 in the title game. We've got the trophy back here, the McGinnis Cup, which Damon brought home, and I think you've already broken a piece off of it. We'll have to get that repaired. But one way or the other, the Lakers did a tremendous job. I thought that was a great two-game set there. And then you go up to Anchorage and you win two more. And really a great job right now. And this team's probably in as good a position as it's been in your tenure at Lake Superior State at this point.
Yeah, well, and Bill, I know I was kind of late getting here tonight, but I just want to start, you know, with the tragedy Max and the Humitz family is going through, I just, you know, would like to kind of address that really quick and we can talk about the other things. But obviously a big loss for our program with Max's father's passing away. And you know, you were talking off the air briefly before just how good he was and what a great GLI he had. And, you know, that's Max. He doesn't want much attention or any attention from this. He just wants to be part of the team and get back to it. But obviously a big tragedy. I think in my entire life in college hockey, I don't think I've ever had a parent pass, and we've had two this year. And so just a really challenging time for our program going through that a couple times this year, and really tough for those individuals at a young age to handle the loss of a mother and a father. So obviously our hearts are with Max and his family. You know, he's one of the best kids ever to coach. You know, he does everything the right way on the ice, off the ice, kind of quietly goes about his business, shows up every single day. And, you know, this is a big, big loss. And again, you were saying how much we miss him in Anchorage, and it's true. He's a tremendous player, a big, big part of our team. And obviously, you know, he needs to be with his family, and we're glad that, you know, we hadn't already traveled or something like that. Tom Anastas reached out, and he's an uncle to Max, and you know, we just talked about, he felt like Mike held on for the GLI to allow Max to play as a Michigan native, as a Livonia kid. You know, that family had that tournament circled for a long, long time. And, you know, I agree with Tom. I don't think there's any doubt that Mike, you know, wanted Max to be able to focus on that. And the timing was good with that in the national program in terms of Max being able to spend a little bit more time at home and with his family than maybe our typical schedule allows. So a huge tragedy, a huge loss, and you know, that overshadows some of the things that have been going on. But you know, again, he's in our thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, Max Humitz, a very big part of this hockey team, and he was a very big part of that GLI victory. I thought he was tremendous. He wasn't alone, though. I think we had a lot of people who really played well in that tournament down there. I was very impressed against Michigan Tech with your forecheck, with the muscle job you did on their D, with taking the puck away, with making plays. You got off to a 2-0 lead thanks to a big check by Ashton Calder behind the net, and then a great play by Pete Violette to steal the puck away from their man out near the blue line, get it to Hampus. Hampus put it in. It's 2-0 right away.
Yep. Yeah, and, you know, like you said, there was a tenacity to our game, and our forecheck was very effective. I mean, I think that was by design. We felt like we saw a couple things on their zone exits that we wanted to try to, you know, counter with an aggressive forecheck, and I thought we were able to do that. Ashton, probably his best game of the year against Michigan Tech, and that clip alone was kind of indicative of the way he played. Very urgent to his game, really driving his feet and playing with a little bit more pace and setting up plays. Obviously had a big goal on, or a big assist on Max Humitz's goal as well in the tournament, and playing very well. And like you said, there was a lot of good efforts. I thought Max and maybe both Anthony were very deserving of making the all-tournament team, and obviously tough to make it at all Lake State tournament team because we had a lot of representation as it was. But I think Max either had 4 or 5 points. Ellis 5 points on the weekend, you know, and doesn't make the all-tournament team. So I thought that was a little bit you know, not the right way to go, but some other guys played well. But it was a lot of guys stepping up, a lot of good efforts. I thought one thing that was really key to our team was our resiliency and our, you know, kind of the timing of our game. Obviously, against Michigan State, we went down early. You know, we responded late in the period to get some momentum and some life back. It seemed like Michigan Tech had some good pushes, some good surges. They're a really good team, really well-coached team. But we were able to counter and answer. Every time they kind of got some life and energy with a goal, within a couple minutes, we responded. We scored right back and never allowed them to really get buzzing and get into it. And I thought that was really key in both games.
Yeah, it was quite a tournament. And I don't think going in, a lot of people thought the Lakers would win that tournament. They become the second team in a row to the invited team to win that tournament. Bowling Green did it last year. Lakers do it this year. But then you went up to Alaska. You win two big games up there. You're missing Max Humitz. You're making kind of a whirlwind tour out of the Plymouth area up to Anchorage to get ready to play. It's back to league action. You got to come off a really high at the GLI where you're running around the ice with a trophy and putting a banner to the ceiling at Little Caesars Arena. And you got to get ready again now. It's time to get serious. We got to play Anchorage. And even though they're not a great team, they're at home and they can beat you if you're not ready. And you won 5-2 and 3-1. Those are two big wins.
Well, and I'll tell you, you mentioned the emotions. You know, to be in that building at Little Caesars Arena and host a trophy and the guys, you know, Diego, Nick, and I'm missing one there. Who was their other? It's Colin Sockerman, all tournament team members. So there was a real good buzz. It was a great job by our team to go out there and earn that championship. And really where it started, Bill, was the next morning after we won it. You know, Max had not been around the team a whole lot. He, you know, every time we'd skate, he'd go back and be with family and be with his father. And that next morning, we informed the guys. And so you go from this real high, it's New Year's Day. You know, guys had a real good time celebrating a championship, being together. And, you know, a couple of guys knew a little bit about what was going on. But really, again, Max wanted to kind of respect his privacy. But we informed the guys that morning about 10 a.m. We went to pick up our gear. And again, I haven't seen a room react like that. We'd gone through it a couple of weeks earlier with Brendan and his family. And it just it took a lot out. It was a very emotional time, not only the win, but then that news. And then you had the travel in. So it was it's been a whirlwind. We feel like we've been gone for a month, not 10, 12 days. Some of you have heard about our adventure in trying to get home. Obviously, you know, finishing with a snowstorm, but flight canceled out of Anchorage. It's been just a real kind of interesting dynamic. But in terms of the game, you know, I didn't think Friday, maybe one of our, you know, poor efforts of the year, Friday in Anchorage. Certainly not having Max in our lineup is a big part of that. You mentioned that off the air, how important he is to our team. You know, he's one of our top forwards. He's an elite power play specialist. He's a great penalty killer. Real high hockey IQ, so we definitely miss Max in our lineup. But then again, just some flatness with everything that had gone on post-GLI, the travel, and you know, give Anchorage credit. I thought they came out and really played well, probably a little bit better than any of us thought. You know, Matt Curley's doing a good job because those guys are believing and playing hard. And, you know, they probably could have made it a little more, bit more of an interesting game and had some chances to maybe go up and win that hockey game. We told the team afterwards that good teams find ways to win, and we did that. And then Saturday we had a little bit more effort that we're accustomed to, still maybe a little bit fatigued there. But Saturday we played better and kind of controlled that game a little bit more through that. But huge wins, not an easy place to play after going down and the travel we went through. And, you know, proud of the guys. You know, a real key on that game in particular Saturday night and maybe even a little bit Friday was contributions from our you know, our so-called fourth line. Brendan McKay had a tremendous weekend playing with Brian Basilico and Chase Gallen. I think Brian's got a three-game goal streak going on, and those guys were really impactful, really through this whole streak, but certainly on the weekend in Anchorage. Those were guys that flipped momentum, that scored big goals, that really were you know, the reason why we won those hockey games. And so it's really good to see. You know, our seniors, our leading scorers have been good most of the year. We're getting unbelievable contributions from the back end, one of the highest scoring defensive groups in the nation. And now all of a sudden you've got Brian and Brendan and Chase contributing offensively along with playing their role at a high level. And I think it makes for a really dangerous team and a really good combination. So it was great to see those guys not only get going, but those big goals, those game-winning goals, and having a real impact.
Yeah, we haven't even really hit on the details of the GLI yet, but, you know, we haven't mentioned Diego Cuglietta's name yet, but this guy's been phenomenal the last six, seven hockey games in particular, but all this season, his senior year. He now has 15 goals, which is second in the country. And he's got 21 points, ties him with Anthony Nellis for first place on this team. But he was tremendous at the GLI. Just incredible. Two goals in each game, empty net goal to finish it off. That put the nail in the coffin right there. And I just thought he was great. I mean, he's been in position his whole career here, but he sneaked in. If you look at the goal over again, the first goal he scored against Michigan Tech, he got in there, got that rebound. Badoon made a great save on the Humets. And there's Diego just sneaking between the 2D and fires it in the net.
Chipping it in, yeah.
That's the way he's been.
Yep, in the overtime game-winning goal the night before there. Yeah, he's certainly, rounded out into the player we thought he could be. And, you know, he's done that. He's been one of our top scorers every year here. And just really capping it off with a tremendous first half and you know, into the second half of that. I think he's on a 6 or 10 game, maybe 10 points his last 6 games and a tremendous scoring streak here. Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, the second highest scoring goal total in the nation. You know, we've talked all year about our seniors and how important they've been. And seems like Anthony Nellis, we talked a ton about early on. Now Diego's going. I think Gage Terrell really quietly leads our team in plus minus and one of our most reliable players in all situations. And Gage has been really good. And, you know, Nick Kostov, I don't know, is he 9-2-1 or something at this point?
Right.
Winning hockey games, really strong numbers. So our seniors continue to do a tremendous job for us. It seems like, you know, this last little segment, it was Anthony early, now it's Diego, and I think Gage will be able to get that going as well. We're going to continue to rely on those guys, but he's doing a tremendous job. Also named today as the NCAA third star of the month or week, I think the month maybe, and, really, really great accolades for Diego and the way he's played.
Yeah, he has been absolutely the leader of this team, and there are a lot of guys that are leaders on this team, and I think that's one of the things we should talk about here in the first half of this show. We mentioned the Humet situation, and earlier in the season, Brendan McKay, both losing a parent, how tough that can be, and it hits the whole team because these guys are all pretty tight, and it's like it goes through everybody, really, on the negative side of things, but the culture of this team is really, really good this year. I've been really impressed with them, around them a lot, and I think the culture is as good as it's ever been.
Really strong, yeah, really strong. And, you know, I think we talked a little bit today that, we don't want to slip from that. Whether you're going through adversity and things slip away or you're trying to handle success, you know, either way, you can kind of get away from the things that made you successful, whether it's on-ice habits, the way you carry yourself in the locker room, the way you treat your teammates, your attitude that you show up with every day. And so, you know, we're always trying to stay on top of a couple issues, and I thought that crept in a little bit in Anchorage, where we, you know, hadn't played our best hockey, and guys were getting on each other a little bit. When guys have success, they want to start measuring their games by points and doing things that way. And so we're always trying to work with guys and communicate. But ultimately, our seniors have, they've set that standard. They've held guys accountable to that standard. And, they deserve a ton of credit. It's not just them. We talk a lot about them. Like you said, we're good throughout our lineup. We have a junior class that does a tremendous job. The young guys, including the freshmen coming in and buying in, are doing a great job and contributing in their own ways, whether that's on the score sheet or, practice habits, things like that. But our seniors have really, set that for us, and give them a lot of credit for the job they've done.
Yeah, the three guys we were talking about earlier, Sackelman as a defenseman, Diego up front, and Nick Kossoff in goal, they were players of the week in the WCHA last week after that GLI victory. And then, as Damon just mentioned a moment ago, third star, that's a weekly award that goes out, and that went to Diego Cuglietta for the tremendous more than a week that he's had. He's been fabulous all season for this team, and no reason to think he won't continue to lead them into the second half. We tried to get him here tonight to have him on, but that didn't work out. Evidently, he would have had to walk to be here. So.
Well, that's, he couldn't borrow no car, and we had a couple guys late today with all the snow. Come back home finally, and kind of dealing with that. So it was interesting. And I think the other thing with Colin too that I didn't hit there, but he was back to back WCHA Defenseman of the Month. One of the top goal scoring defensemen in terms of goals. Lucas Kybo's a guy that I think he's sitting at 16 points, and we barely talk about Lucas, but he's having a great campaign. You know, we heard a lot about Jacob Nordquist early on, and in the season he's having. Colin's gotten some credit and publicity lately, but Lucas Kybo very quietly is having a tremendous season as well. So it's been good to get different contributions. Guys are playing at a high level. The GLI was just a real remarkable event. From the host of Michigan Tech to Olympia, just a great environment. Had a ton of fans down there. saw hockey alumni, saw fans. It was just a real, awesome moment to be part of. And, you know, you heard me a lot. I grew up down there, and I'm not sure how many GLIs I missed growing up, but I was at most of those events, seeing the Laker jerseys in the stands, the years they were there, hearing the Michigan Tech Pep Band. And it's just an awesome environment to be a part of. And certainly, going down and winning that helps that, but a great tournament and a great weekend.
Yeah, that new arena is spectacular too. If you haven't had a chance to go to Little Caesars yet to see the Red Wings play or to see an event there, please do that. It's phenomenal, and it's a lot easier to get into than Joe Louis Arena was. And I mean, their broadcast vantage points are night and day over Joe Louis Arena as well. We're going to take a break here on the show tonight. Mark Vasey's our sports information director at Lake Superior. He's going to join us in the second half of the show for a few minutes to introduce Mark to all the fans who are here and listening in tonight. Damon and I will be right back with the second segment of this show on ESPN 1400. All righty, we are back at the Antlers on a Tuesday night, coming off a wicked snowstorm yesterday in Sault Ste. Marie. Many of us spent much of the day today digging out after that one, and no school in town, no school at Lake Superior State today, but back to classes tomorrow. We're into a new semester. I'm taking it everybody's academically eligible as we get ready to play this weekend.
Well, not only that, but it was, we've talked about that culture. We had a 3.41 team GPA this fall, and I think five guys with a perfect 4.0 semester as well. So just that's that culture piece. Guys are doing things the right way, and when you do that, you can show up to the rink and concentrate on the right things, because you don't have, that poor preparation and those poor habits chasing you around there. So for the most part, a real strong job. Probably the highest single semester GPA we've had. So again, real credit to that locker room and the guys doing things the right way.
Yeah, I think a real test of your culture, and I think you mentioned it a few moments ago or hinted at it anyway. One of the real tough things right now is this lineup starting to become pretty solid. It's a lineup that's having success all the way through. I think the McCabe-Basilico-Gamlin line is one of the better lines we've got. I mean, they're all good. Hampus Eriksson has really come on of late. He won almost an 800 percentage on the faceoffs on the weekend up in Alaska, so he was certainly ready to play. He scored a huge goal down at the GLI against Michigan Tech. I think he's been really getting better and better and better coming off injury in the first half, but these lines are solid now, and it's going to be awfully tough for some of the guys who aren't playing all the time to get into the lineup. They're going to have to spot in here and there and hope that they're ready to go if somebody gets hurt or goes down, but this is a tough lineup to break right now.
Yeah, it really is, and I think you're right. I hadn't really thought about it a whole lot, but a lot of things are fairly solid. We're actually we'll get on the ice for the first time this week tomorrow due to all the travel issues and baggage issues. We do have a little bit of a surprise tomorrow, or change tomorrow, I should say, that if it stays that way all week, you'll see that on Friday right away. But it's tough, and those guys can play. We've got some guys, Yuki got in on Friday and played his best game of the year. That Olympic sheet helps him with his quickness and speed, but we really liked Yuki. It would have been great to keep him in, but we had Alex Amando with us and wanted to get Alec in as well, who's played well the first half. And all of a sudden Tyler Anderson's going back in, playing to the expectations that we hold for Tyler, and showing us those things, the shot, the heavy play. I think him and Steven Ruggiero have been really good the last couple of games. So there's not a lot of room right now to get in there, and when you do get in there, or if you're a guy who's in there, you better hold on, because there's somebody knocking, trying to get your spot and breathing down your neck to get there. And then that's kind of what we tell our guys, you have it right now, don't let it slip. Don't fall away, don't slip from the way you're playing, because somebody's waiting. If they do, if they go in and grab it, then it's you trying to get back in there. So it's challenging in a lot of ways, and it was great down at the GLI. We had everybody on the team with us, and then kind of tough where we continued on. We had to send some guys back home, so that separation is always difficult and never an enjoyable part of it. But it was good to reunite here today with those guys, and then to get back at it tomorrow. And they'll keep pushing. Those guys, we've got some guys in there who can help us out, and we'll look for opportunities to get them. It might take an injury. It might take a couple weeks of off play, but we'll hope that they're ready when their name is called.
Well, a lot of guys are playing really well right now. I was impressed at the GLI by Pete Villette. I thought he was outstanding in both those games there, and I think he continued that because he scored his first collegiate goal up in Anchorage on Friday night. And And good play out of Basilico. I mean, he got the power play goal in the GLI. Since then, he scored two more goals. He went into the GLI with one assist on the season. Right now, he's got three goals and an assist. So he's coming on a bit. And Brendan McKay was just outstanding at the GLI. He was very, very good. He was strong. He skated well. He covered up well. He back-checked. He did just about everything you could ask him to do.
Yeah, no question. I thought those guys all, really took a step along with Chase Gammon. That's typically that line. Sometimes we, flip things around a little bit. But, they understand the expectations out of them and, to go out and win their shift. And if we haven't had a good couple of minutes, they've been doing a good job of going out and getting momentum back. And, if we are playing well, there are a lot of times the reason we score goals. They might have a team pinned in for 35, 40, 50 seconds. It might lead to a penalty, or we might get a line change. And then, Nellis's line might come out and they get kind of the credit for it. But that line has been really critical for our success. And again, I think they're, tip of the iceberg here for them. Now that they're going a little bit of confidence, Chase Gamlin's had some tremendous chances this year, a post or two. And, I'd like for Chase to get that first one here sooner than later and get him some confidence and show him that he can, score at this level. And once we have that, going to be a really dangerous team. But really like the way they're playing. Now they got to continue to play at that level.
Yeah, we've kind of hit on it a few times here, but you did have some trouble coming home. I know I got a text from Paul Prouche on, I think it was Sunday, as you guys are coming home. He's like, I'm in Minneapolis right now, but we lucked out. Six of us have got a flight that's going to take us from Minneapolis right to Kinross. Well, I'm like, what's going on here? But evidently the flights got canceled. The equipment got lost. You got all the equipment came in today.
Today, finally. Yeah. I won't bore you with all the details, but I've never gone through anything like it. And, almost nearly 20 years of college hockey, we ended up having three different groups. Like I said, the one lucky group got in that late flight into Kinross Sunday night. Mike was with the first group to leave Seattle. Our flight out of Seattle was canceled. Ended up, I think it was 1:30. We ended up leaving like at 6 a.m. Missed our connectors. Mike traveled home with a group that got home 3 or 4 a.m. Monday morning after they got in Detroit late. And then the last group with me, Wes, and Natalie in terms of staff, and I think five freshmen and a sophomore. We ended up having two flights canceled in Chicago. Once we ended up in Chicago, and we ended up renting a car about 3 a.m. I think Sunday morning, and then driving through the night to get back, try to beat the storm. We kind of drove with the storm the last little bit, and interesting, and concerning in terms of preparation. And that's why Monday, Tuesday we're off. We got a little bit of a lift in today. Really want to make sure we're fresh and ready. We kind of tried to do it by experience level. So our seniors were on some of that first trip, our juniors, some of the names got screwed up a little bit, but it was different. It was challenging. And we told the guys today, it's over. Huntsville doesn't care about our travel issues or the time change, whatever. They're playing their best hockey of the year. They've won three of their last seven after starting 1-15 or something like that. And, they're going to be a tenacious team, a hard team to play. So we've got to put Alaska behind us, not only the wins and the GLI, but also the travel. That's over. And I think as coaches, we want to be really careful this week of how long we go. We're going to try to keep it real short so that we're fresh for Friday night.
Yeah, just another reason why Alaska's two teams should not be in the WCHA.
Yeah, but that's not easy.
We'll go there one way or the other. We're going to take a break here, a second break. We'll have Mark Vasey, the sports information director at Lake Superior, join us for a few minutes, and then we'll take another break, and Damon and I will be back, and we'll talk, among other things, about the team coming in this weekend, the Chargers of Alabama Huntsville. And we'll be right back to the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back at the Antlers on a Tuesday night in Sault Ste. Marie. The Lakers on the cusp of a great second half of the season. They've got to do some winning, of course. That's the name of the game. But they've won six in a row, actually seven if you count the under-18s victory. That was 7-3 down in Plymouth a couple of weeks ago. And going into the second half of the season, they're going to play pretty much home and away the rest of the way. They'll have Huntsville coming in this weekend, go to Mankato next, and then Bemidji comes to town. So it'll be interesting, and we've got Mark Vasey joining us now, and Mark is the sports information director who took over, a month and a half ago?
Right at in November, the second. I actually got into town the second Michigan game.
Yeah, that was a nice time to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right after we won. Yeah, it's good for you. Anyway, this guy's doing a really good job. Anytime I look at my phone on Sunday morning and I see that He posted the story on the Lakers' victory, the second win, the 3-1 win at 2:44 a.m. I figure this is a sports information director who likes his job, because who's up at 3 o'clock in the morning writing stories? You are. That's a good job.
Yeah, I really love it, and I want to do the best job for, you know, for the team, for the coaches, for the fans, everyone involved.
Well, you're doing a good job with everything, too. We're talking hockey here because it's a Laker hockey show. But, I mean, I've seen a lot of good stories. You did a great story on one of the Laker basketball players last week who's a really good kid. I know him. He's been around for 4 years now. And I thought you've done a lot of other good things really well, too. And it's hard to cover all these things. A nightmare for your job would be a home weekend in both basketball and hockey.
Which I think we do have one later in the season.
Yeah, we do. And that would be tough. But you've been staying up with everything and writing feature stories as well as covering the various events and keeping up with, you know, track and field and everybody else who's playing as well. And that's not easy.
It's definitely, you know, it's definitely a challenge to come in, but it was a challenge I was willing to accept and really do my best to give all the sports coverage.
Yeah, you did. You do have a little bit of help this year. You got Megan Edmonds, who's helping with some of the marketing end of things. And I know we talked earlier a couple weeks ago about this. And it'd be really nice if we could get another intern next year whose job is to work specifically on covering games and writing and doing things like that and getting some experience that would help them. And it would also be a big help to you.
Yeah, it's always beneficial to have more help, but a lot of that's out of my control. So all I can really focus on is the work that I'm doing every day.
Yeah, but Dave Pateson's listening, so I'm sure he's going to work hard on that now to get you a sports information intern as well. Let's talk a little bit about your background, where you're from, how you wound up at Lake Superior State. I know you came out of the state of Kentucky to come here, which after yesterday you might wish you were back in the state of Kentucky, but I hear you had to dig your car out for one thing yesterday.
I think that was my Uper initiation yesterday.
I think you're right.
Okay, guys. I came in yesterday around 11 a.m. It already started snowing. Other people are in the office already. I go, guys, it's getting bad. You're probably going to want to leave early. So they all end up leaving around 1:30-ish. The school closes officially at 2. I get stuck staying doing work. I go to leave at 4. My car snowed in. I ended up needing help getting out, digging it out, pushing it out. And I go home and I'm like, oh, it's really funny. I'm the one who said, you know, get out here. And I end up staying the latest to getting stuck.
Well, that's because you're a rookie. You don't understand the UP.
Rookie mistake.
Well, yeah. Let's. Where are you from? Where did you work to give you some hockey background? And tell us a little bit about your experiences since. And where'd you go to school and get your degree?
So the really quick background, I got my undergraduate degree from Purchase College in New York. It's a state school, and I went to school for journalism. So that's kind of where my background in the writing side of things come from a little bit too. And got some involvement in photojournalism and sports information while I was there. And I graduated, I found the sports information internship at Lindsey Wilson College in Kentucky. It's an NAIA school, one of the best NAIA schools there. They win a lot. So I went there for 1 year, had a great year there. And after that, I wanted to stay in the field. So I ended up finding a graduate assistant position at Minnesota State University, so with the Mavericks out there.
The Mavericks are not a big favorite here.
So I went out there for 2 years, got my master's degree, worked in their communications office. That's where my hockey experience really got started from the work side of things. I played growing up until my junior year of high school, but that was my first time working with it. When I was there, I worked women's soccer, I worked women's ice hockey and baseball. And of course, their women's ice hockey team is also in the WCHA in the women's league, coached by John Harrington from the Miracle on Ice team. So that was really a really good experience to get to work with him and his crew out there for 2 years, and enjoyed it a lot. So when I was finished there, you know, I left, was looking for a full-time job, found one at University of the Cumberland in Kentucky as an assistant, same conference that Lindsey Wilson was in where I'd been before. So that was my connection, but I really missed hockey when I was down there. And this position opened up, and there was also a promotion in terms of my role. So I applied, and, you know, in a few weeks later, I was moving up here.
Well, it's worked out well, I think. You're doing a really good job, and, you know, I work closely with SIDs usually, and They're tough to get to come into Lake Superior State and do a good job, and we feel fortunate you're here right now because things are a little bit improved. But let's talk a little bit about some of the things you really get interested in. That's social media. There's a lot of Facebook, a lot of Twitter, a lot of stuff that young people are looking at now, and you're really good at that. You're getting a lot of pictures up and out. There's something on Instagram 2-3 times a day. And that's a big part of the job right now. It's not just writing stories and covering games and trying to do advances for who's going to play next. There's a lot more to it than that, and this social media makes it a little tougher.
And it's really a team effort, too. You know, with you mentioned Megan, our intern, and Hunter in marketing, and Abby, who helps out with the hockey social media. We really all come together and try to provide content. That's the way I kind of view it. I'm trying to provide high quality content as much as I can to promote the teams. So you mentioned my photography, like that's one of the skills that I bring to the job. So it's something that I always try to do, you know, along with the video and the graphics and all that stuff. Cause social media is big now, you know, in terms of reaching our fans and also for recruiting and lots of other aspects as well.
Well, yeah, you get a big story like Diego being named third star for the NCAA for the week, and the three guys being named to the WCHA top players last week, that sort of thing. And you get that up, and you get the pictures up, etc. There was a great picture of Max Humitz after he scored a goal in the gold uniforms that was on Instagram earlier today. Those are things that younger people notice, and they take note of it. They read about it, and that gets us some publicity.
Yeah, and I'm like you mentioned, Max Humitz's celebration photo there, and there's also the one of him holding the trophy after the GLI. I thought that was a good one too. But I'm a big fan of I like celebration pictures a lot, and I like, from a photography side of it, I like photos where you can see the people's faces, you can see their emotions, you can have that connection with them. Especially in hockey, a sport where they're wearing helmets a lot, you don't always get that.
Yeah, basketball is a little bit different there. I thought you did a good story on Tim Carnduff last week, and I thought he had a great game on Saturday against Grand Valley. You talk about a basketball game that could easily have been lost. I give our coach a lot of credit there. Steve Heading did a tremendous job because Grand Valley's a heck of a team. They're way bigger than us. They probably have a little bit higher level of talent at this point, and the Lakers beat them and beat them pretty well in that second half. That was a great game.
Yeah, it was, because you're right about Grand Valley in that first half, and their shot blocking looked pretty good inside, and our big guys, you know, had a good second half with Raj Stein and Jackson Schremeyer there, as they got the come from behind win.
Yeah, that was a biggie. And Mark, good to have you here. Good to have you on the show with us. We'll get you on again as the season goes on, and you're doing a good job with sports information at Lake Superior State.
Thank you. I appreciate it a lot, Bill.
All right, Mark Vasey joining us here, and the fans that we have. We got a great crowd here today at the Antlers, as you might expect. The Lakers doing really well these days. Damon and I will be right back. We'll take a break. We'll be back to talk about Huntsville and some of the other things going on. It's the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All right, we're back for our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a snowy Tuesday in Sault Ste. Marie. We're at the Antlers down on East Portage Avenue. They do a great job here, and a lot of fans with us tonight, everybody enjoying the food, et cetera, at the Antlers. And we've got some questions from the fans who are with us. We'll get into those before we talk at length about Huntsville coming in this weekend. A lot of questions about the GLI, and I've heard this myself. I've had a lot of people texting me and sending me emails about it and asking on the street why the Lakers won't go back next year and play in the GLI to defend their title, similar to what Bowling Green did last year. That's kind of a set tournament, and they have it all set up years in advance.
Yeah, it is. It's a couple of years out, and you know, you can see their focus the last couple of years as being a little bit more of a Michigan-based tournament for a couple of different reasons. So yeah, I think they announced that Ferris would be the team in next year. You know, hopefully we'll get back up in that rotation as soon as possible. And I was asking the same thing. We won in Florida that first year. I want to go back to Florida that December afterwards and keep going that. But those are planned out a couple years in advance. And I don't know when our next turn will be, but certainly would, you know, we had great crowds, you know, and that was big to draw well, because that's certainly, I think, part of what they're trying to do is continue to grow attendance at the new arena and keep the GLI as the premier tournament in the nation. And so So to have that representation from our fans was great. And we heard a lot about too the way we played. You know, that people really enjoyed the talent we played with, the style of game we played. So you know, hopefully the Michigan Tech and the Olympia people noticed, and that would be big. I forgot to mention the first time around, but Paul Boyer. You know, obviously many of us know Paul. They were out of town that first game. They got back late that night, and as always, Paul Boyer was tremendous to our program. From, you know, just helping us out in anything we needed, and spent some time taking us through their facilities. And be amazed at that new building and the player amenities is just unbelievable. But great to have Paul Boyer down there and other people with Laker connections, and just again a tremendous weekend for our program.
Yeah, Paul's a great supporter of Lake Superior State, as you might expect. He's from the Canadian Sioux. He was with us for 5 years, both as a student and afterward before he moved on into the Detroit organization, and he's been with them for what, close to 30 years now, I think, as their equipment manager. And that facility's spectacular down there. It's incredible. There isn't anything you can think of that hockey players would want that isn't there in that dressing room facility.
Yeah, and they told you that. Like, you know, usually when you get through a building design, they say, you know, hey, we kind of missed on this or that. But, you know, a year and a half into it, they feel like they hit almost everything. It's a shared facility with the Pistons. I didn't get to see many of that. But, again, that Red Wings place is just unbelievable, what they have for those players, the amenities, the where they eat, their recovery, and sports medicine. It's just it's a palace. And got to see Adam Nightingale as well. And Knights is the one that took us through and, you know, spent some time with Knights. And he was just, you know, same thing, that it's so comfortable. You don't have to leave that place if you don't want to. And so a big recruiting tool at the NHL level is you're trying to attract free agents and retain high-end players. They did a tremendous job, and, you know, just a beautiful setup.
Another question from our fans about the GLI. Does that tournament and winning it and playing so well have any sort of impact on recruiting?
Well, we certainly hope so. You know, I think going down to the national program the week before, and, you know, I was amazed that they went up to St. Cloud and beat the number one ranked team in the country with the same lineup we played them with. They're a tremendous team. And so to be down there, I you know, there's some young kids, you know, watch that game, watch the GLI. And, you know, it's our job as coaching staff to capitalize on that, you know, the positive press, the wins, things like that. So we certainly want to use that, you know, to capture that talent base down there. I mentioned to somebody beforehand, I actually had a call today. My work phone gets patched through to my cell phone, and so I grabbed it just before a team meeting, and it was a mom saying she has a 7-year-old and they were at the GLI. They want to come up to hockey school this summer. So that's the kind of impact you have. You know, that might be a future Laker who happened to be there, and whether he plays for us or comes to school at Lake State, but a real big impact on what it did, being on TV and playing Michigan State and having Michigan Tech there. You know, we've done a poor job as a staff if we don't capitalize on that opportunity.
How about the there's a question here about the goal that Max Humitz scored against Michigan Tech. He was out in front of the net. Was that a face-off play that was designed to go back in the net out front and in the net off Humitz's stick?
Well, offensively, we had a play con drawn up that if we won the face-off to execute a different play, but we lost the draw. And, you know, we certainly have, you know, routes for lost faceoffs. When we lose a faceoff, just like a one faceoff, you need to know what you're doing. And a lost draw, you know, we have a certain, you know, things we do and might adjust depending on what our opponents are running. So, you know, there's a little bit there, but really a really good read and play by Ashton Calder to jump that pass. They kind of drop a forward low, and Ashton jumped on top of it. And then again, Max Humitz, you know, that high hockey IQ. He doesn't stay far side. He really gets strong side to the soft spot, we call it. If you don't work your way across, there's a couple sticks in the way. So Max did a really good job to sprint over, get lost in the high slot, and that tremendous shot. Maybe what you don't remember or see as well is Diego. His feet are right in the crease. Bedoin had no chance to find that puck and track that puck. That was actually, I think, the last clip we showed Friday pregame. We show some penalty kill clips, some things to be successful. Not only you know, that whole play, and it ended with Max celebrating, and we wanted to remind our players that we're playing for Max on the weekend, but it was the habit of Diego going to the net and not allowing the goalie to see pucks. And you know, that has much to do with that play as Ashton or Max. Was Diego doing the right thing as a senior, as a captain, and taking the goalie's eyes away?
How about the tournament itself as awards at the end? We've got the trophy here with us tonight, the McGinnis Cup, but do the players get any individual awards out of that?
Well, they do. You know what? I thought the one disappointing thing, Red Wings obviously played that night. The start times were early, which, you know, it just is what it is. But they were really worried about the start time of the NHL. So I think typically the all-tournament team would have went out and accepted their award, you know, with Dr. Sandregate from Michigan Tech and the other Olympia staff there. That was cut short and rushed because the NHL was really you know, giving us some heat to get off the ice. I think our intermissions were cut to 15 minutes instead of the 18 as was prescribed. So I thought that was the one tough moment. Instead of Nick and Diego and Colin and Diego as MVP to go up and accept the MVP award, that was just it was announced quickly, and then those awards were handed out in the locker room. So they do get some gifts because of that, and along with the team gifts. So that was a little bit tough, but the NHL needed that ice to get ready for the game that night.
Our last question from the fans here tonight. The Lakers have the best road record in the country right now. I think we're like 12-1, but what can be done to help us with our home record, which isn't near as good?
Yeah, well, I wish we had the best home record too, and that's the goal to do that both ways. You know, and I don't think there's any secret that we don't go on the road and do something, you know, really you know, different or unique. We try to every year look at the way we do things and you know, kind of adopt best practices or make adjustments. And you know, so that's part of it. Again, I think part of that is you know, who we've played. Michigan came in and they're a good team, and Mankato at the time was the third ranked team in the country. And you know, we weren't up to par that night to knock off Mankato in those two games. So you know, I think you look at the Fairbanks weekend, and I don't think we brought our best game. Give them credit, they were really good that weekend, and I was impressed with their team. So yeah, we need to be a little bit better at home and you know, win games. There's some missed opportunities, but also some really good opponents that earned victories on our home ice. So but you know, we want to be better, and that was a little bit of our settle point to the guys today, that you know, we haven't done anything yet. You know, it's great that we're on this streak, and the GLI is a great accomplishment. You know, those things are over. We've still got work to do in the league to be where we want to be when it's all said and done. And you know, that starts Friday night. So we have to be ready to play and be a better team this Friday.
Well, UAH comes in here this weekend. Huntsville, the Chargers, what do they bring to the table this weekend? You mentioned earlier, I think they've won three of their last seven games. They did beat Ferris State in overtime on Saturday night, so they won their last game. And they're a kind of a confident crew right now because they started 1-15, but they've done much better of late.
Yeah, much better team as of late. You know, and so I think that alone is worrisome. They had a bit of an offensive explosion this past weekend against Ferris, and I haven't had much chance. I've just watched a little bit of their holiday tournament hockey, and then again our series from earlier in the year. So I'll watch Ferris starting tonight. You know, but there's some confidence there. They're winning games. Ballou, the forward, was named WCHA Player of the Week. Goslin's starting to warm up here a little bit, who's a tremendous player. So it, you know, that's scary. There's some desperation, there's some confidence, and again, I you know, and I thought we had some slippage in our game. So it's you know, we've got to get back to the way we're playing. They're kind of a balanced scoring attack. They've struggled to score a little bit up until this weekend, and so they've got some forwards, you know, all around similar point totals, excuse me, that aren't, I'm sure, where they'd like to be. You'd expect Goslin to maybe be leading that team or leading their decor, but they've got Teets and another guy, Knight, up there as their top defenseman scoring, and Goslin's getting going. So a really active decor that looked to a little bit like us. They want to join the rush and be involved offensively, and they've done a good job with those two guys. And again, Goslin can break out at any time. So I think he's one of the most talented players in our conference, and a guy to always keep an eye on. So balance scoring, some active D, and both goaltenders, Sinclair and Thoid, have done a really good job at varying times. And I think their guys, you know, it seems like they don't have pressure. You know, the way their team's gone, there's not pressure on their goaltending. They've kind of played really well, and maybe the expectation to win wasn't there. Now they're winning a little bit, and they've got goaltenders who can be outstanding. So to me, just like Diego did at the GLI, we have to have a real good presence at the net front and not allow their goaltenders to come in and steal a game like maybe Tolvanen did and like McKay on Saturday night against Mankato. You know, we can't allow that to happen.
Well, it's going to be an interesting series. We got to be ready to go on Friday night. I'm sure we will be. It's been a tough week or so here for the Lakers and their family, but they'll be ready to go on Friday night. You know, they have a strong connection with the Fairbanks Ice Dogs on this Huntsville team too. They got four players who played for the Ice Dogs when they played junior, including Johnny Teets, who has Sioux connections. And you just mentioned him. He's playing really well. He's a big defenseman. He's 6'2". He's got good size. He can move the puck. So I think Hans Gorowski, that's another one who was coming here to Lake Superior State. He'd been recruited, and then he went to Huntsville, and he's another guy who played up there in Fairbanks. And then Orval, the Swedish player, is a freshman or a sophomore, I think, now. And they've got that strong connection. And then they've got Levi Wonder, who played in Escanaba in high school hockey, of all things. And he's done a pretty good job for them. He's playing spottingly, but that's tough to step out of high school hockey in the UP and play Division One.
Yeah, so some ties, they'll have some fans too. I don't know all their Fairbanks connections in terms of why that's happened, but certainly when you get one or two guys from there, it becomes a little bit of a pipeline there, and you try to kind of capitalize. You know, one of the real positive things of that, when you have a guy and you're back to recruiting, you can ask that guy character, work ethic, you know, will he be a good teammate, and do you want him in that locker room with you? And that, to me, is really important. Your players know better than maybe an agent selling it, or an advisor, maybe I should say, or a coach selling that. You know, they're going to try to promote and help their players, where, you know, Colin Sockerman is going to tell us, you know, the truth. Yes, you know, I want that guy stepping up and going to battle with me, or maybe not. You know, hey, coach, I'm not sure he fits what we're trying to do here. So, you know, that certainly helps in that process there, you know, and that's probably part of that pipeline there. But they'll have, you know, a couple of Michigan natives. You mentioned Levi. Goslin's a Brighton kid. So they'll bring some people up into this building, and they're going to be excited. They were good here last year against us. They came in and, you know, won some games. And, you know, we've got to be better. You know, it wasn't the way we wanted to play this past weekend. Great to get the results, but you know, you can't let that success kind of get to you. You want to keep playing the same way and improving.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned players of the week yet in the WCHA. The Lakers did not get any player of the week honors this past week, but they did pick up honorable mentions in every area. Austin Ballou, aforementioned from Alabama Huntsville, was the forward of the week. He had 3 goals and 4 points in that split with Ferris State. He had the game-winning goal in overtime, 4-3 on Saturday night as well. Hampus Erickson was the Lakers nominee there, and he was a honorable mention. He had 3 assists in those 2 wins up in Anchorage. Philip Ballou from Northern Michigan, no relation to Austin Ballou, but Philip Ballou had 3 power play goals in 3 minutes in the third period on Saturday to get a 4-2 win at Alaska. That's a pretty good performance by a good player. Lucas Keibel, who had a +5 in that sweep up in Anchorage, was the honorable mention there from the Lakers. Ate Tolvanen, for the third time this year, was the goaltender of the week. He got a 4-0 shutout and a 4-2 win up in Alaska. Merrick's Mittens, and we haven't mentioned Merrick's yet, but I thought he was pretty darn good. I listened to that game on Saturday night, and he stopped 30 of 31 shots. He was an honorable mention. He had a tremendous save percentage of .986 and a 1.00 goals against average.
Well, all those guys you mentioned, you know, I think Hampus, if everybody remembers early on, he was unbelievable early. He came back in a better shape. Better pace, and he might have been our best forward the first couple of weeks, and then went down with a long-term lower body injury. And you know, I don't think he's gotten back to that level where he stepped back on the campus from the summer. And he's starting to play with a little bit more pace to his game. You know, feeling a little bit more confident. You know, a little bit experienced sophomore at this point, and playing really well. So he had a big weekend. He had a good GLI as well, and we're looking forward. You know, he plays with Anthony Nellis, and when you look at Nellis's line mates, their point totals are a little bit behind him, and we'd like those guys to catch up. You mentioned Pete Viet earlier in the show. You know, as good as he's been, you would think he'd have some more points, and you can see the confidence and the poise starting to come. He had a great breakaway goal up in Anchorage, so I think that's a positive sign there as well. Lucas Keibel, we hit, you know, maybe the quietest guy in the country to have 16 points as a defenseman at this point, a great plus minus. I think he's been playing so steady, you know, improved defensively, you know, strong kid, really tremendous stick skills, whether he's shooting, and he set up Brian Basilico's tip goal, you know, or making passes. He's been really, really good paired with Colin Sockerman. And then Merrick's Mittens, as you mentioned, I thought Nick and Merrick's were both really good. He had the early lead on Friday, and Nick Kossoff made some key saves down the stretch to keep that lead going. And, you know, I'm sorry, the other way around, Merrick's on that one. And then Merrick's going in on Saturday was consistent, gave us the saves, did a good job. Both guys had some shots and tested, and, you know, like where our goaltending is at. We kind of went back and forth on that, whether we kind of keep Nick rolling there a little bit. He started a big stretch in a row there with the travel and the short turnaround from the GLI. We kind of went back and forth. I knew Merrick's was ready and wanted to keep Merrick's prepared, but you know, good performance by our goaltenders.
Yep, they did a great job. Ashton Calder, by the way, was honorable mention for the rookie of the week. That was won by Cooper Zeck, the defenseman from Ferris State. We'll see them four times in the second half of this season. We're out of time here tonight. We've got lots more to talk about, but we'll have to use it for the Laker Hockey Talk program this Thursday morning at 8:30 right here on ESPN. But that takes care of it. Damon, good job. Thanks for being here. Thanks to Mark Basie for joining us here, the Sports Information Director, to Mark Sanangelo for producing us here down at the Antlers, and for Cade DeZormo back at the station keeping us on the air. Bill Crawford saying so long till next Tuesday night on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.